Hey, Bill and Gutton, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you as we broadcast just before, I guess, everyone celebrating or most people celebrating Christmas and whatnot and getting ready for the holidays, if you're not on holidays already. I think it's been we've got a bit of an interesting show today following the Bondi shooting. So we're going to sort of look at that and I guess try and talk about it from a legal and a lawful point of view. Obviously, there's a number of issues there that we wanted to sort of investigate. But before we do that, let's have a listen to some of the reports that came out when it took place, and we'll follow up with that conversation.
It is Australia's worst mass shooting in nearly 30 years after 15 people died, including a 10-year-old girl, during celebrations for a Jewish festival in Sydney. 40 others remain in hospital. Now, it happened at Bondi Beach at a gathering marking the beginning of Hanukkah. Police say it was a terrorist attack. Tonight, we have a clearer picture of what happened from video footage filmed by bystanders and verified by the BBC. It shows two gunmen firing indiscriminately from a small bridge towards a park and beach area. One of the men then leaves but keeps firing. As the violence continues, a bystander tackles the gunman, grabbing his weapon. He's now been hailed a hero and named locally as Ahmed Al-Ahmed. Other bystanders step in to help.
Ganyara, a very, very tragic incident so close to, this time of the year when everyone's feeling, a bit more friendlier and happier, I guess. It was a bit of a stunning turn of events there, but one that I guess you could say maybe simmering, obviously because of global geopolitical events and things like that. But ultimately, what are your initial thoughts on it all?
Well, the loss of human life is sad no matter where it is, no matter where you go. And that was absolutely uncalled for. There should have been no need for anyone to get hurt, injured, let alone killed in this, And this is what the way I see it is that people have come onto our country bringing other beliefs or thoughts, where you can go and kill someone without facing punishment, and that's absolutely stupid, Under tribal law, this is what I come back to all the time. Now, you've got to remember, tribally is different to the world of persons, to the world of man-made law. That's a whole different ball game altogether. Now, we believe that there's a creator. There was someone that made this place or an entity, and we like to call it God or whatever it is. We call it Guppy, So that was the creator of this place, and the bodies, the humans, belong to him. But we get these legal identities made in this false world, of man-made law, in the science of law, which is rather crazy when you think about it. Always remember that religious law is the highest law on the land. And in Australia's world, the Commonwealth of Australia, their grund norm or their constitution is derived from the Bible, so from the biblical sense. But it is not of the Bible. It is derived a power that as humans we got a right to go forward and make a choice, and we can participate in the life of the state. But it's rather stupid that people have got to go out and kill each other, and this is why we need all these laws. That should never have happened. Never, ever in a million years should that have happened. If we believed in even like in our own law, you don't go and kill anyone. You can't kill someone. You should not kill someone because that's the property of Guppy. That's his property, like the trees and the crocodiles and the humans. We're all living on this place together and we shouldn't be fighting over anything. But there's so much hatred built up in the world at present, and it's absolutely stupid. It's all over money and territory because how do I say it? That should never have been allowed to happen. Why? Because those humans that did partake in that shooting quite obviously don't understand the world, do they? They don't understand the big picture of it. They don't understand that we're all on this little blue dot together in the middle of nowhere. Now, we look at this and think, oh, Sydney's a big place. Bondi's a big place. Oh, look at Sydney. Look at all these humans. And it's a little minuscule drop in the big ocean of the universe. So here we are talking about, last time I heard, it was 12, it was 14, then it was 16 people have died. There shouldn't have been one death. There should have been no shooting. There should be no hatred against each other. There should be no hatred for someone else as humans. And that's where, when you start dragging out guns, you're starting to come into the God's world again, into the Creator's world. to go and shoot someone. Well, it's wrong. It was dead set wrong. What these Australians, now they might be in here as Australian citizens or tourists that are coming from another place, come into Australia. You've also entered our territory now. You've also come onto the territory of the Aboriginal nations. And I'll tell you now that all the Aboriginal nations abhor killing of another human. They absolutely, people say, oh, them natives were ruthless before they fought and killed each other. No, they didn't. They weren't like this. The natives that were here before the white fella come got along pretty peacefully, considering we never had major global war on our territory before the white fella come. There was never this mass killing that you see, and that's what that was in Bondi. That was a mass killing. That wasn't part of our makeup, our society before. Our society was friendly. We looked after each other, and if a few things that did go wrong, they were sorted out very swiftly. You know, the punishment was brutal. It was swift. For example, if I kill someone under Yidinji law, and I go about tribal law, not Australian law. The Australian law, you go to jail for murder, you know, or whatever. But under tribal law, if I killed someone and murdered them, then I had to face the spears. There was capital punishment for that. You know, it was not taken lightly. So there is capital punishment at tribal law, which, by the way, these people had done this crime on tribal territory down there called Sydney. So they had broke the law tribally. Now, should they be punished tribally? You know, they don't know about it, but this is where the Commonwealth of Australia, as a trespasser, had allowed these people to get in on the country and commit crime, which is rather because people don't understand the legal world.
Well, this brings me to another interesting part. When we talk about philosophy of law, science of law, let's say I didn't believe in secular law, like Australian pieces of paper, but you've used Australian piece of paper to come into Australia, but then you don't want the piece of paper or you think that law doesn't apply to you, for example. I think that's a very important thing that you've said there before about, well, if you're going to go under whatever law it is, and, you know, there's all these types of different religious law, like Sharia law, we hear about that and all that kind of stuff. But then you are subjecting yourself, because if you're saying you're not under the secular law, then you're under the spiritual law or the tribal law, then you do have to fight. You can't escape it. There's absolutely no way you can escape this and try and make it work for you if you're actually murdering people and or killing people. And so that's a very important thing for people to understand, that it's sort of like a sovereign citizen way of doing things as well. So you're acting outside the law, thinking you're above it.
Well, on Yidinji part of the world, we have territorial sovereignty. It's always been here. We've never lost it. We've never ceded it. And yet people come on here bringing their argument onto our country, be it Australian, be it whatever these international nations are, coming onto our territory to bring their disagreement here. This is not the place for it. When people don't realise this, the humans do not realise what's going on. They come in as an Australian citizen. I think it was a father and son set up there that had a beef against the Jewish people. This is not the place for it. This is not the place. This is Yidinji country. We support the one creator, the one thing that made everything, because this is where we got put to when the tower was brought down, the Tower of Babylon. So we were scattered out to here. So there is a central creator, and this is not the place to bring any argument to here. We were peaceful people. And then to have these humans that are seen through a legal identity committing crime or killing other humans, this is what I'm saying, not the legal identity stuff. Forget about that. They come onto our country where our territorial sovereignty still remains because Australia didn't acquire sovereignty properly. Ours must remain. And you may, by the way, you may face the death penalty inside the Aboriginal nations if you start doing this stuff. That's what I'm saying. The Commonwealth of Australia is a sovereign citizen movement. They did not acquire sovereignty properly. When the British come, they just sort of said, yeah, we're going to sit on your land for a while and we'll come in, and there was no act of conquest, there was no war, there was no anything other than just moving in and just sitting on our country and bringing their law and saying, well, using our subject to my law. Well, hang on, if the sovereign citizen movement's built up big enough, and they said to Australia, you're now subject to our law, what would Australia think? Because they, you know, the ultimate law is the one that was here first, that is still here. That's our law. Australia come in third place, but they got moved to second when the British moved out. So they allowed these people to come in as Australian citizens or on a tourist visa, whatever it may be, I don't know the full details of it, but they're still occupying or trespassing on tribal territory, which is where tribal law should be the ultimate law. When they come into our country, you respect our law. Just like if I went to the Middle East, for example, or if I went to the US, for example, or I went to New Zealand, I got to respect the original law that was there, and that's the Maori one because it hadn't been ceded. They know that, and this is what we're saying. When you come onto someone's country, respect the law that's here first, not Australian law. Now, Australian law is all it's a dead law. It's a man-made, philosophical, make-believe. Where's the Commonwealth of Australia besides hanging on the wall?
I think that's the issue. Maybe these men have sort of said, okay, well, if that's secular make-believe law and Australia has no treaty, then I'm sorry, it's all up for grabs and we're going to do what we're going to do because we believe that God gave us that right or whatever it may be. I don't know what they're thinking, but this is the problem for Australia because they don't have that security, security of the tribal law to actually provide that absolute, the buck stops here. And that's this problem Australia has because ultimately, while it promotes itself as some sort of amazing democracy, it still hasn't fixed up this problem of gaining proper permission and through a treaty or whatever it is, where they can't. It's going to have no respect, and people are just going to come here and ride a roughshod.
Well, we were talking a few months back about these international drug cartels. Think about that now. Only a week or two ago, there were some Chinese were found over in the far north of West Australia. They wandered in, you know, and they were just found walking around inside one of the Aboriginal missions, you know, the communities there. What were they doing there? What were these Chinese people doing there? You don't know what it is. And I keep saying to everyone here, the cartels are bringing drug boats across. You know, they're coming across from Colombia or Ecuador in these boats with roughly $1 billion worth of cocaine on board. Get to the shore here, kick it all off, and then they take the boats out and abandon them at sea, you know, and they've found three in the last 12 months, these drug boats, narco boats. What would happen if these drug cartels realised that Australia does not have proper sovereignty for here? They don't have territorial sovereignty. The Aboriginal people do. And these cartels with all their mighty money that they make, you know, like I said, there's roughly $1 billion sitting on one of these boats. They come over with these drugs, but they bring the cash. What would happen if they come to an Aboriginal nation who's cash-strapped and trying to revitalise their sovereignty, and they come along and say, look, we'll give you a hand. We've got $1 billion here or a couple of $1 billion to get your government up and running, but there's going to be a bit of a catch. One thing you're going to have to do is let us take part in your society, you know, so we can make legislation. All of a sudden, cocaine is legal. What's going to happen? Now, they got arms. Now, people don't like to hear what I say, but when these... I see a lot of stuff on these drug cartels now using modern warfare technique of drones. This drone warfare is absolutely crazy stuff. And there's no way I want to be anywhere near that, you know, because it's just so lethal to humans. They fly these drones and they bring these drones in dirt cheap. They can bring them in by the dozens or by the hundreds or by the container full. What police force, what military in Australia is going to resist that sort of onslaught of ordnance? You know, they got the money, they got the to rebuild the government, they got the drugs, they got the military hardware that's now being bought in. How can Australia defend itself from this? And I'm saying to all the mobs, whatever you do, don't get sucked in by this allure of money, this cash that's going to come in, because the drug cartels will get control of your law and they will displace Australia. Australia will become second or third in place because you will get your Aboriginal nation will be taken over by this cartel with all this money to bring. Let's make a standing army, for example. Now, I see this thing at Bondi. The police were really struggling to handle that for a while. It took a while for them to get there and respond. And I can't blame them because there's bullets flying everywhere. Just imagine that on a thousandfold increase, you know, in a certain area. What would the police do? How could they react to that? How could they react to these military grade drones that cost only $100? It's just insane, this stuff. So we've got to start to look at getting Australia's foundation sorted out.
Yeah, I think this is the most important thing for people to realise is that Australia's sovereignty is on wafer-thin foundation. And I say that honestly and because it beyond doubt, even they would agree, the judiciary and everything else, that this is unceded sovereign land. They would agree that the tribes are pre-1770. They would agree and be held to account for, you know, knowing the fact that Yidinji owned the land pursuant to their law, under Yidinji law, that is, not Australian law. So all the noises are being made, but it's the leadership and the parliament of Australia that needs to act, because, you know, how many prime ministers have gone to and from here knowing about the sovereign Yidinji government and this now and not wanting to do anything about it?
The problem is where the legal identity is created. Just for 1 minute, don't think when you're seen as an Aboriginal Australian that you've got any say in the matter. You haven't. You vote as the 3% inside Australia, the 97% rule. We've got to get that into our brain that as an Aboriginal Australian, we own nothing, we mean nothing. 3% is nothing in the big picture of things. And this is the sort of stuff that can happen on your country, like these shootings, you know, that took place. This was absolutely, you know, what do you say? You can't put a word to it. That was just one of the worst things that ever happened on your territory as an Aboriginal nation. You've got to be in your right, correct legal capacity. If you're being seen as an Aboriginal Australian, you've got no say. You've got no say on your country at all. Your say is when you come back to your nation and revitalise your government, when you revitalise your system of government and decision-making. But you've got to do it in an identity that's not Australian. If an Aboriginal Australian can't come into Yidinji, for example, even though you might be of the utmost highest Yidinji bloodline, when you come into the Yidinji nation as an Australian, you've got no say. It's completely irrelevant what you say, because you've been seen in the wrong capacity. You've got to come in as a Yidinji citizen or as a Yidinji tribal member. And that means the legal identity. We'll ask, you know, one old bloke with Gunjarabai we used to go out with, he said, you get everyone, who your daddy, who your daddy, who your daddy? Because we're talking real law now, who your daddy, because that was passed down through the male line of the most superior line. So he would ask, who your daddy? We're talking real stuff, God stuff. Not where your Australian identity is. He's not asking who you were as an Australian.
You're a doctor or professor or whatever. Those things don't mean anything.
Absolutely mean nothing inside our world. So who's your daddy? Okay, that's the male line. That's the real physical, you know, tribal stuff. But as a government, you've got to have a legal identity so you can interact with this world, this make-believe world of the Commonwealth of Australia, for example.
Yeah, you're listening to the Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break.
I'm aggravated, finding my patience. They say they got me to switch up, I'm tired of this fakeness. It's complicated, I don't talk about the stuff what I'm facing. So I just put it in the song like it's a conversation. And I've been overthinking, messing up my education. Failing examinations, I'm put in the circulation. It's going in rotations like I've got no motivation. I got some built up anger in me, feeling agitated. They know what I'm about, Bimmer gon' figure it out. Went down that old path, was doing bad, I found a better route. I'm switching up the flow, I'm switching up the rhythm. Put my mama mind at ease, just to show her I'll be winning. Father, please forgive my sinning. Jump on the track, I'll be spinning. This a new start, a beginning. I'ma be a better man. I'ma prove that I can. I'ma do this for my fam. I was sinking in that sand, but I got out of on my own. Stood alone, all in that dark. Now it's time for my light to glow. Funny how they disappear, but my vision just keeps on going. If it ain't about that paper, then call me, just leave me alone. Cause I don't like talking about it. Rather be chilling in my zone. I'm blind and solid. I stand strong on my own. I do better by myself than to be another clone. I was slipping off track, had no sight of the mission. Chasing the hype. Meanwhile, I'm still locked in on my vision. Mom said play in the dirt, you gon' end up a mess. That's the sit with success, you'll level up like the rest. I was thinking to myself, this ain't the life I wanna live. So I'm turning my pain into power, cause blessings are a gift.
We all fight battles very deep inside. You are hurt, we learn to rise with pride and hold on tight. Turn your wounds into your strength and let your spirit.
They could be
fighting silent battles, you don't know you can't hear it. Check up on the ones you love, cause they be hiding their feelings. You never know what they going through, they might need your assistance. Listen, and watch your closest friend, cause they might be searching for peace. Every day walking in a storm, with fire underneath. Mental battles, no rest, but they still trying their best. They up on that overthinking, they ain't getting no sleep. No cap, I speak the truth, it's all in my lyrics. Got my hands to the sky, because my faith is my spirit. Learn from my pain, every line has a meaning, that's true. Put my soul in the booth, it's tough, but I keep pushing through. Like, can I have a minute? Can I sit here and vent? All the secrets I kept, all the feelings I expressed. Lately been really stressed, barely catching my breath. So I just pick up the mic and release every word that's left. Got a lot of aggression, it comes out unexpected. Mama raised me right, but I just had to learn from my lessons. I know I'm blessed, father led me in the right direction. Your plans in motion, I see my purpose and my reflection.
We all fight battles very deep inside.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Gandhara, we were talking about the tragic events of Bondi and things like that. I'm just thinking now, what, you know, to be fair, I haven't seen anything, but it could have happened. But it would be interesting to hear what the mob there would have to say, you know, about this situation, because I think that's a very important thing that might be lost in all. Whose land is it on? Because if the Palestinians and the Jews and everyone else is talking and fighting about land, then we've got to be fair dinkum and say, well, okay, well, Australia, where's your land? Okay, you don't have any? Oh, okay, well, fair enough. Well, who do we talk to? And that's what we keep coming back to now. This root cause of it all is Australia doesn't have permission to be here, and that's problematic for them.
Well, the tribes have abandoned their land by walking off and becoming Australians. They got every right to go back to there. They can go back to being in their tribal capacity and forming their government and offering to Australia, you know, the deal to Australia. Look, you can come in and you can be on our territory. There's going to be a treaty, which is going to happen anyway. It's got to be sooner or later. It's going to happen. We were told by Senator Scullion at the time that it's going to be a little way off because they've got to go down the state-based treaty rubbish, which is offering nothing. It's not going to sort anything out. It's going to leave Australia still in a vulnerable position. But we've got to sort that mess out sooner rather than later so this sort of stuff doesn't continue, because tribal law is where the is where the real punishment comes in. Now, Australia, if you're on our country, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to, you know, how are you going to appease the old spirits, the ancient old spirits that are there? And Aboriginal Australians of that part of the world, what are yous going to do? Are yous going to let it continue, and you're just going to hope that the trespassing Commonwealth of Australia is going to be still here doing the right thing and looking after your territory for you, or you're going to abandon your law? You know, I'm saying it's not being nasty or derogatory, but just you've got to understand, you've got to come back into your legal identity that's created by your sovereignty, not of the sovereignty of Australia, which is very important. Australia can't enforce its sovereignty on our people. It can, you know, subjugate or bash and act contrary to the Charter of the UN, by the way. So is it a good international citizen? No, not really. This sort of stuff has taken place under tribal protocol. Those people who perpetrated that crime, especially up here, they would have been speared long ago. You know, they would have faced the death penalty pretty well straight away if it can be shown what they've done. And there's video footage everywhere of it, and it's terrible, absolutely terrible. You cannot, no one can condone killing another human. No one. No matter, there's no excuse. You know, if you believe in the Bible, for example, you know, didn't the Maker say, well, revenge is mine to sort out? You know, I'll sort this problem out, not yous. Yous go and share the place and get along and try and do the best you can, but revenge is mine.
Well, I mean, this is where it comes down to what people believe in. So ultimately, there are many people that live on this continent that have very different religious beliefs. And some you know, would say that they had the right to do that. So this is where I think it's important that if we're going to believe that God created the planet, which we do, and then I would say that God gave the tribal people here, Yidinji, Kungai, whoever it is, right, they gave them that piece of land to look after and to, you know, maintain peace and to, you know, have some sort of covenant with God. So if I'm going to go to England and say, no, I'm just going to obey Yidinji law here, I don't care about your English law, that's where it gets problematic. And, you know, let's say I went to France and say I don't believe in the French law, I only believe in God's law and Yidinji law. Then I'm going to bring disrepute and disaffection to the Yidinji nation by doing that and being, and then the elders will have to do something about that if the elders of France, if there were any there, come and make a complaint or whatever. But that's what I'm saying. There's an accountability with that responsibility, and sovereignty isn't just a blank check to go and do what you want to do.
Just because you might have gone to France, for example, if you don't understand Yidinji law, you've actually trespassed on someone else's country. The Yidinji elders should summon you back and say, boy, you come back here. You've brought disaffection to us by going over there and taking our stuff over there. It doesn't belong over there. It belongs on our territory and our territory alone. Nowhere else. That'd be like me going over to Perth, for example, Noongar country, and saying, no, I'm Yidinji. I'm over here going to claim your country. Hang on a sec. If there's a proper true Noongar elder there in capacity, not as a Noongar Australian, but as a proper Noongar person, legal identity mentioned there, on reason, because that's where law is attached. You know, you've got to understand that law is a man-made thing. And over there, I would be subject to Noongar protocols. And if I went and trespassed over there, first of all, I'd be subject to their law. But my elders back here should be saying, boy, you get back here. You've brought us into disaffection on another people's country. So no matter where you go, you can't take our law and say, I'm going to be the boss here. When you go to England, you're subject to their law or the law of the elders there in the tribal capacity, that's all you're going to be seen in. But if you're going to be seen as an Australian, you're subject to international law, which is, you know, Australia is a signatory too. So you go over there and you're going to be seen in the UK as an Australian citizen. You're subject to the treaties and the protocols we got with Australia, between Australia and the UK. It's a very simple thing if you understand the science of law.
Oh, absolutely. This is what we're talking about now, about this is why sovereignty is such a clear-cut thing for mob, you know. Like, we know that this is Arunda country or Yidinji country, whatever it may be, because that's where we say, oh, whose country am I? I'm going, who's your mob? Are we so-and-so? Oh, whose country is this? Oh, this is, you know, like I said, Mbantwa. That's the name for Alice Springs. You know, this Arunda country here, okay, fair enough, and who's the elders, and, you know, to go and talk to these old people and whatnot and make sure, you know, I'm not misbehaving there because, you know, my family, and making sure that, you know, whenever I represent the Yidinji Nation, for example, as Foreign Affairs Minister, travelling down south or wherever it may be, that, you know, people, when they hear about the Yidinji Nation, they want to hear good things. They don't want to see me going and, you know, smashing buildings and getting drunk and doing all that kind of stuff. So there is the absolute accountability and responsibility. But this is what I keep coming back to now. Australia can't say that. Australia can't say that with the full confidence that this is our land, because it's not. And that's the problem we keep bringing up.
What they do to the Aboriginal people, and this is what I'm saying, it's not stupid people, it's not uneducated people, this is just undereducated people in the science of law. Look at APBC, these prescribed body corporates that hold land in trust for an Aboriginal group, for example. You know, any native title determination says, you know, there's some really good ones. The PayPay one over in West Australia is a really great one. We come to give you nothing. You know, all of the Native Title Act does is to allow the Australians to recognise that the land is owned by someone else. It really is so simple. It does not give you anything. A native title gives you absolutely nothing other than evidence that when you go back to your tribal capacity, you can then be the owner of the land. But what happens? Everyone goes, oh, look, we got something. So then they go and join a PBC, a prescribed body corporate, where the land is held in trust under an Australian title. You know, Aboriginal freehold title in Queensland. It's an absolute gimmick. It's a joke. It's absolute BS. It's rubbish. It's created by the entity that's here. So how do you take part in a native title? How do you take part in the PBC? You've got to be seen through a legal identity created in Australia. You've got to be seen through the one that's created in Queensland, for example. You can't go into the court as a Aboriginal landowner. You can't go into their court because their court has refused to recognise your identity. Same in a PBC. How do you take part in the PBC and the prescribed body corporate that's going to administer the lands that are held in trust? Oh, you're taking part as an Australian. You're part of the problem. You don't understand what you're doing is you're condoning what Australia is. You're condoning that Australia has the right to let you camp on your land for 2 weeks only, yet if you're the owner, you can do what you like with it. An owner can do what they like with their land, yet you are limited by what the PBC says or the Native Title Act says or whatever. You're too busy being an Australian than to come back to your true capacity.
And that's where I think it's really important to remind everyone, that's where sovereignty is important. Because I'm not, you know, I think it's important that those mechanisms are created to plug in, let's say, the Yidinji Nation can plug into whatever it is, the PBC, this, that, the other, but there's no formal agreement for that. So it is sort of making it up, Johnny, on the spot. This is what comes back to now about, you know, people taking advantage of these things. Oh, Australia's a fiction. It departed in the 70s. You hear all these sovereign citizens saying this, that, and the other. And now Johnny on the spot's going to pick up a gun and start shooting people because they realise, oh, that maybe Australia's sovereignty is not even here. Maybe it's on Norfolk Island, or you know how they talk about all this stuff. I don't really know. But ultimately, while they're focusing on that, I think the tribes need to focus on governance and making sure that this type of rot doesn't happen on territory because it may increase. We don't know, given the way the world's heading.
And that's why I just said don't go into this rot, this rubbish, this crazy, very, very stupid world of sovereign citizen rubbish. Don't play in that world. Your law is your law. It's nothing to do, you know, like you just said, I heard about, oh, it's on Norfolk Island. It's not. Australia is whatever it is here. It's not on Norfolk Island. All this rubbish. It's just total BS, you know, what it is, and this is what people can't understand, is that it was settled here. Whatever was come in here had settled on the land of the Aboriginal people. It's their law is still here. You know, you read the Uluru Statement. You know, sovereignty coexists. What does that really mean to you? Sovereignty of Australia is there, and everyone in the PBCs and going to native title, whatever, everyone's in that sovereignty of Australia. They're not in the sovereignty where the ownership is. They refuse to come back to there. They want to be an Australian. Because you might get a Toyota in your PBC and you might get $50,000 a year in your bank account from Australia. Your real ownership, especially if you read the Yidinji ones, Yidinji had a system of land tenure. That's where the real ownership is. You own this land. The court come today to give you nothing. Gives you nothing. It says it. You own it under laws that aren't Australian. And this is where I'm a bit concerned that some of these Aboriginal nations are getting that desperate now, like what happened down there. They're getting that desperate now that they will let the bad people come in, you know, these drug cartels that don't have respect to life. You know, they all say, oh, we go to church on Sunday. Good to go to church on Sunday, but you can't go out murdering on Mondays. You know, you go and do your seven Hail Marys, but you can't go back out Monday if you believed in the word. But so this is what I'm saying. These cartels are coming in. If they get into here, armed to the teeth with money to cash up the Aboriginal government, the nations that were here before Australia, get them cashed up, and then start to make law that turfs out Australia. Now, I've been saying on this for year after year after year, we've got a right to do a treaty, every right to do it. They know we've got the right to treaty. We've got the right to cede sovereignty, do whatever we want to do. We've chosen not to do anything yet because we're trying to build Australia's foundation so it's not being turfed out. We don't want Australia to leave, but it's getting very long in the tooth, you know, this holding out the olive branch. We've been doing this for so long now. We're in the process of starting to develop this international legal persona. Australia has no right to represent us at international law. So if they haven't got our empowerment, we'll have to do it ourselves. You know, you were saying there earlier today there that you can't rely on anyone. You've got to do it yourself to make sure it's done.
Mm.
We've got to make sure it's done for us. If Australia doesn't want to come to the table and they want to drag their feet, you know, well, we'll have to do it ourselves, and we're going to do it, and we're in the process of doing that, developing an international persona so we can get recognised at the international world and say, look, we'll appreciate your General Assembly resolutions, for example, of decolonisation, Resolution 1514. Yeah, we support that. Where's the colonization? Where's the colony going to go, though?
Yeah, this is the, you know, I was just thinking as you're talking about people who want to dodge the law can easily say, well, where's if I'm under tribal law, where's King Charles? Where's Charles? Bring him here. Whereas with Yidinji, we can do that. If there's tribal law, well, we go and talk to this family. You know, I'm going to talk like that, but I'll make sure that the right people are there and ask around and make sure that the elders, because they will be here because they live here. Charles doesn't. So this is what I'm saying now. That tribal law resides here at all times with the elders. And this is a problem for Australia because if people are saying, well, I have a God-given right to shoot people, then Charles is going to have to rock up here every time for it if he's under his tribal law, but they're not. And that's what is really, really clear in relation to what we've been talking about.
Well, the fundamental problem with that is the Aboriginal people or those of the elder status are all wanting to be an Australian citizen so they can get some benefit out of PBC or they can get some benefit out of a land council agreement. That's where they go and want to go on to get there. They're not understanding they've got to come back and revitalise their law. Now, just because we're all humans, you know, we've got to be very wary of the elders here. But if they're not back in capacity, they're not here. They're all too busy being inside Australia. There's the problem right there. Right is that fundamental problem. They want to be in Australia only. They don't want to come back and revitalise the law. We found this many years ago when we were driving around the territory trying to get the elders together. And we've had a few say to us, no, I'm right. I've got exclusive native title. Oh, I don't want to join your mob. I don't want to join the sovereignty. In Australia, I'm doing quite well. Look at what I got. You know, I got exclusive to this piece of country here. And that was wrong. You know, he had actually, those people who said that had made a statement. They don't want to be part of the elder group that can talk about country, can talk for country. And I can tell you now, there's not a great deal that can talk for country in proper capacity. And this is what's going on down south. Most of them don't understand that while you're being an Australian and not coming back to revitalise your law won't exist. You know, it's going to be so obvious that your law will die as these elders, these potential elders, pass away. That law will go and then Australia will have ownership. But that's not the right way to do it. It still doesn't settle the past because, you know, a young fellow can come along that might know law and said, I'm going to revitalise the Aboriginal law and Australia's on a shaky foundation again. And this is what I'm saying. They might be cashed up by the drug cartels, might be cashed up by a foreign entity, you know, a foreign government that comes in and says, we will give you a hand to get you going as long as we can get our benefit as well. So the Yidinji is playing this very carefully. We're trying to get Australia back into place. But how long can we do it? We're going to start to develop our international legal persona, at least so that we can hold the place intact for our part of the world where no other government can come in and, you know, take over and say, oh, yous aren't there. No, hang on, we're back. We've developed an international persona to under, you know, so it's the Yidinji Nation represented, not Yidinji Australians. They're represented by the Commonwealth of Australia. Understand this is in the world of legal identity, not humans, not these crazy humans that go out and kill each other, which is totally against Yidinji law. You know, that was, you know, I can't stress it enough. That would never be allowed to happen under Yidinji law because, you know, the kill one would have the spears drawn everywhere.
Yeah, it's one of those very, very, because, I mean, obviously the world is changed a lot in technology and, you know, firearms and weapons and things like that. And, you know, we were talking about this recently, about the fighting grounds and how the courts were, there was a real courtroom, you know, but this, with so many people now on tribal lands on this continent now, I mean, you look at Melbourne and Sydney and places like that, a couple of million people there living there. So, you know, realistically, we'd struggle as a government, the Yidinji government, to look after everyone on our territory. But it's something we still strive to do. We have to do it. But in terms of sheer numbers, but that's where a treaty, that's where a treaty would help look after that, you know. And I think that's where you play it smart in that you wouldn't necessarily create a standing army. We have no intentions of doing that at this stage, I guess. But ultimately, if you got the Australian Defence Force and the Navy and everyone else and AUKUS and things like that, right, that's where it makes sense to, okay, well, let's work with that rather than starting from scratch. So coming back to what I was saying, it's playing the smart game, and the elders have that knowledge to navigate these waters, because, you know, it's keeping it simple enough and not getting distracted by all this other stuff that can potentially get in the way of decision making.
Potentially, you know, that's there. You were talking about like a defence pact, you know. We would be building an alliance with someone who could maintain protection or defence of the territory. You'd have to do that, you know. Yidinji doesn't have enough citizens, you know, to make a army capable of defending any territory now. You're going to need in the order of 500,000 people. That's not an easy task in Australia, because we only have 25 million people in total, let alone dragging 500,000 people out of that to defend a piece of territory. We don't have 500,000 people on territory. How can we do that? So you have to build a defence alliance or a defence pact with someone to do that. Same with policing. What better place than to empower those existing ones that are here to do that very job for us, which is what a treaty does. It's terms and conditions of power sharing, for example. That's what a treaty is, not some other make-believe where we're going to give it all away. We're not definitely. The land is not to be given away. The land, the allodial, will be not part of the deal. We get the root title created subject to Yidinji government law, which is empowered by the Yidinji elders to be here, to make a land title up. But remember always that it is rights reserved to the Yidinji crown, not the Australian crown.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at places like the Vatican, they have 800 citizens there, and they have the Swiss Guard that is in their national defence force. And I would say, even though they dress up in old school traditional costumes with the spears and things like that, they would have access to semi-automatic weapons and whatever to defend the nation or their territory, for example. But then that's where what you're saying before about having those defence agreements and pacts is very important, because then you've got, obviously, Australia has AUKUS, so the UK and the US, and that's where those things, they help each other, you know. But coming back to the conversation we were having before, the government side of things, don't think it's too hard or too big. I think it's just really keeping it simple and creating a foundation for that ability to enter into negotiation for some sort of a contract or whatever it may be you want to call it. And that's where, you know, relatively it's peaceful here, right? I mean, given recent events, apart from that, you know, it's Australia as a continent is quite a safe place. There's a lot of violence in, you know, domestic violence and all that stuff. But in terms of, let's say, a terrorist attack, then it's not a bad place to be. So sovereignty and asserting that and exercising it, it's a good place to do it. And not only that, you've got the law here. It's unceded sovereignty. So there's no confusion about that. So that's why I would encourage people to look at this. And, you know, we're happy to talk about the Yidinji way, but there's a million other ways, because there's all the different tribes with their own law that can do it their way. I mean, this is the whole point.
But we're talking about the sovereignty itself. I can't find any other way to show that you still maintain sovereignty at law. So basically you've got to do is create a government. You've got to be in the right capacity. And as a government, then you've got to create the legal identity to allow the human beings to participate in your society. This is the important part. No Australian can participate in the Yidinji government, period. They can't participate in the Yidinji nation, period. They're either going to be seen legally as an Australian, or they're going to be seen legally as Yidinji. Now, which one are you going to choose? Now, where's the identity created? The identity is created under our law, Yidinji law, and not Australian law. Birth, deaths, and marriages, for example, creates an identity for the human. This is where this sovereign citizen stuff goes nuts. They think there's zillions of dollars attached to a birth certificate. The birth certificate is the door only, the door to go and enter the state of Queensland or the Commonwealth of Australia. That's all the birth certificate is. It's not money. If you want to come to where the real value is, come through the birth, deaths and marriages of the Yidinji nation and participate in Yidinji, not Australia. And the human being has a right to do that. They've got a choice to make. Now, there was a really interesting article recently about racism in Canberra, ACT. And I wrote to an academic expert about this, a constitutional expert about it. And I said, you notice the language in this article. It's about persons and persons and persons, all persons, legal identity stuff in Australia. Like I said, Aboriginal Australians make up 3%. What say are you going to have in a democratic world where the majority rule? The majority of people who believe in this idea will rule. So will 3% override 97%? Will 10% override 90%? It can't. Even if you made up half of the population, there's going to be some of you that will vote inside Australia for what Australia is doing. So you've got all of a sudden 60-40. You still cannot. Even if you get to halfway in the population.
Well, apart from the obvious, that's quite obvious. You know, I think Noel Pearson used to say 3% mouse, 97% elephant. And that's the problem in Australia. Not only that, but Charles is your boss. So that's how simple it is. If you don't want to accept that, then you're sort of going against the Constitution. You're not a good citizen. And I know that Senator Lydia Thorpe made a big hoo-ha about that. But ultimately, she made an oath to King Charles. So we, the King of Australia. Now, she, as a tribal woman, she doesn't have to worry about that. But in her office, you know, she does have to worry about that. Here in the Yidinji Nation, our office is, we take an oath of allegiance to God, first and foremost, Labor, and to the tribal council in defending and the Yidinji people. So that's where it's different. If I'm holding an Australian one and I decided to create a Yidinji government, I can't do that. Or vice versa, you know, a Yidinji person can't go down south and create a government for the Arunda or someone down, you know, wherever. So it has to come back to this knowing who you are, who you're not. And if you live somewhere, find out where you're living and whose law you're under, because ultimately that's where the safety and security is all about. But anyway, we're going to go to a break and we'll come back with some final comments.
G'day guys, this is Paddy Mills here. Stay strong to the youth. You're listening to 98.7.
Yes, Skinyara, the year has gone quickly. Sovereignty is still unceded here in the Yidinji Territory, and it's been a great year. I think next year's very exciting as well. There's a few things cooking. But the whole point is that there will be a time where the Yidinji Nation is back fully restored. And that's absolutely started many years ago now, it seems. But it's slowly now, the whole its position is becoming internationally recognised, and that's a wonderful thing. More importantly, it's the right thing.
We've got to do it. If we don't, when's it ever going to come back? And this is what we decided many, many years ago. It's going to come back. We're not going to lose the law. We're not going to walk off our country. Sovereignty will never be ceded. Never. It can't be ceded. And with the modern rules and regulations of gaining territory, conquest is no more a tool to be used to gain territory. So this is where we're at. The Yidinji people never walk away. We can't walk away. But we're going to start to do stuff properly. We're not going to wait for Australia. We're not going to just sit around waiting. That's why I said we're developing our international legal persona so we can go and interact with the rest of the world, because Australia is refusing to recognise. They're refusing to talk to us. They said, oh, yeah, we'll just keep being the boss here and we'll just keep subjugating them into our world. We'll force them into our world through bludgeoning them in. Now, going against Resolution 1514 of 1960, by the way, which then if you do that, Australia as a manifestation of colonialism is acting contrary to the charter of the UN, that the very charter that we want to try and start to recognise. And these are all the democratic beliefs that Australia has, and we've got this rot taking place on country where, you know, where people are getting murdered, getting shot, getting hurt and harmed and injured. And stuff that's got nothing to do with us. It should not be on our country. That should definitely not be allowed to happen by Australia, who's, I don't know what the game is. I really struggle to see what Australia's game is now, letting this sort of stuff happen, because under tribal law, we've got to be very tough and firm with that. Now, I know Australia's getting a lot of dissident citizens. They're getting very sick and tired of what's happening out there, and that's why you get the sovereign citizen movement. We get all these sort of people that are looking for a way out. The Yidinji way is the way. We will make sure that as a treaty comes into place, the Australian citizens will be looked after on our territory. You know, we're not going to let Australia be cruel to its citizens, those people who have joined up. Remember, we're human beings. Human beings that have got to share this little planet together. And but how do you do it? If everyone wants to be an Indigenous Australian, if they want to be Yidinji Australian, remember you've joined up to Australia. You've got a toe Australian line. You only get some limited rights in a PBC or a land council or whatever. You don't get much out of it. If you come back to the proper territory, proper status, proper capacity, you all of a sudden you become the owners of the place and you can really speak for country. But as TOs inside a PBC, you speak for nothing because you're an Australian. You're actually, your identity, you're being seen through as trespassing on your country. Now, how much more do we have to say this? This woman down in Canberra, for example, ACT, she had three legal identities. She had two Aboriginal nations plus an Australian, and she chose to be Australian.
Yeah, thanks for that. Gai Baragalanyunda, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to this program, in the almighty name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we'll catch you next week here on Black Ball Tribal Edition. Okay, go.
There have only been two moments when I felt you standing still. One was when those church bells rang out over the hills, and the other up till now was when that little boy arrived. The whole world stopped spinning when I looked into his eyes, and I wish I knew then that it could never last. Oh, I wish I knew that. The older he gets, the faster you run. You're always in a hurry, you don't wait for anyone. The older we get, you keep moving on. Will you slow down for me? Time. Maybe if I hold your hands just for a little while, the way he used to wrap his little fingers around mine, I could make you stop and let me catch my breath and take in every moment that I don't want.